Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU.
This week, Universal and TikTok accuse each other of bullying and greed. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt, and with me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris.
Hello there.
On this week's show, Universal and TikTok's big bust-up that has seen the major label's music removed from the social network, the damning report on the boys' club music industry and how it holds women back, and more. But first, Chris, what was something that stood out for you in the music world this week?
Well, there were a number of actually very interesting reports published this week about different aspects of the music industry. You mentioned one just there. We will name check a couple more later on this edition of Setlist. But in amongst them all was the latest Notorious Markets report from the American government, which sort of kind of doubles up as a very useful guide to the big piracy websites around the world. You know, if you want to know what the big piracy websites are, not to use them, obviously, so that you know which websites we're meant to be hating. So that was interesting. I learned about a couple new stream ripping websites I didn't know about thanks to that report. Not that I want to do any stream ripping. It means that I can be really investing my hatred at those stream ripping websites. Pirate Bay was still in there. I mean, that's not news to anybody, is it? What wasn't in there was any unofficial voice cloning sites. And it's interesting, obviously, within the music business, piracy, although we don't talk about it as much anymore, still a concern for record companies and music publishers and the wider music community. In recent years, we've talked about this a lot on Setlist. Stream ripping sites have been at the top of the music industry's piracy gripe list. The movie industry, the gaming industry, etc., might have different opinions, but for the music industry, stream ripping has been the big piracy gripe, although it could be turning, and it might be that in the next couple of years, unofficial voice cloning sites that allow you to output vocals that sound like, I don't know, Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, Harry Styles, BTS, whatever, they may well become the big piracy concern of the music industry. And the Recording Industry Association of America was hoping to get at least one unofficial voice cloning site into the list of piracy operations in this Notorious Markets report this year. They didn't get it in there, but who knows? Maybe next year. So if you're a fan of... No, hang on. If you want to crack down on piracy and you know which websites you should be punching, download yourself a copy of the Notorious Markets report. So that was one of many reports published this week. We will talk about some of the others later, I guess.
Yes, we'll be talking about those and YouTube's big milestone on paying subscribers. But first, TikTok has begun removing tracks delivered to it by Universal Music following the collapse of licensing negotiations between the two companies. Universal says it's standing up for its artists and songwriters by refusing to be bullied into accepting a fraction of the rate paid by TikTok's rivals. TikTok, meanwhile, said that Universal is putting its own greed above the interests of their artists and songwriters.
So this all kicked off on Tuesday night, our time. I happened to wake up at about 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday and noticed the email in my inbox telling us about this. And basically, Universal, overnight, our time, Tuesday, Wednesday, published what it called an open letter to the artist and songwriter community. It was put out just before TikTok's existing licensing agreement with Universal Music, which is, let's not forget, the biggest music rights company in the world. That agreement expired on Wednesday, and crucially, no new licensing deal has been agreed to take its place. And that is because, said this letter to artists and songwriters, TikTok wants to intimidate Universal into, and I quote, conceding to a bad deal that undervalues music and shortchanges artists and songwriters as well as their fans. But, Universal Music insisted, we will never do that. Now, this letter to artists and songwriters was quite a long letter. We will link to it if you want to go and read it. And it said that there are actually three sticking points, count them, 1, 2, 3, that have caused negotiations between Universal and TikTok to collapse. Obviously, appropriate compensation, to use its words, was one of them. But Universal also said that there were concerns about TikTok not protecting human artists from the harmful effects of AI and in relation to the online safety for users.
Now, the extent of the breakdown in deal negotiations is made very clear in Universal's letter, including that claim that TikTok was trying to bully Universal into accepting a new deal worth less than its previous deal. The financial offer, it said, is a fraction of the rate that similarly situated major social platforms pay, and far less than fair market value. And it says it does not reflect the exponential growth and success that TikTok has seen. Now, according to a recent investigation by the FT, TikTok's success saw parent company ByteDance generate $29 billion in revenue in the 3 months to the 30th of June 2023, and a cash pile of more than $50 billion. That, says Universal, has been built in large part on the music created by our artists and songwriters.
Now, beyond the dispute over money, Universal's claim that it is also concerned about online safety is quite interesting. I think there is no dispute that TikTok has something of a content moderation problem. In a 2023 article published by The Conversation, which is a publication that specializes in bringing journalists and academics together, Nuranti Jali, a professor of communication studies at Northern State University, said researchers found TikTok has a role in facilitating the spread of hate speech, as well as misinformation and disinformation, including ethno-religious propaganda. And in its letter, Universal insists that TikTok has not offered any solutions to these problems. It claimed there is a tidal wave of hate speech, bigotry, bullying, and harassment on the platform.
Now, while money is at the heart of Universal's complaint, as with its moves to force a change to the payment models of streaming services like Spotify and Apple Music, the company is shrewd enough to realise that a multi-billion dollar global music giant shouting loudly about wanting more money is unlikely to get a great deal of sympathy. So with Spotify, Universal shifted the discussion to one of streaming fraud and functional audio, and then successfully pressured Spotify to demonetize millions of tracks created by independent music creators with no consultation with organizations representing those creators. With Apple Music, the focus is on higher quality music and a bonus for labels and artists who provide content as spatial audio, as we discussed last week. And by using the online safety argument alongside its demands for more money, which includes TikTok putting a stop to AI-generated music, diluting the royalty pool, Universal has cleverly aligned itself with an issue that currently concerns governments, creators, and users alike.
That said, when it comes to the artist and songwriter community, even the core dispute over money potentially has quite a bit of support. Because it's not just Universal in the music industry who feels that social media platforms like TikTok have a long history of undervaluing music and that the platforms get more out of the music than the music industry gets out of the platforms. So even on the core give us more money point, Universal does have quite a lot of support among music makers in terms of its standoff with TikTok. Although that's probably not true of all music makers. Because, of course, we are now in a world where, for some artists, TikTok is an absolutely crucial platform to the way they release their music, interact with fans, and build their artist businesses. And that includes Noah Kahan, a TikTok-focused artist signed to Universal's Republic label in the US, who has already told his fans, on TikTok, obviously, that this standoff between his label and his most important digital platform will impact his ability to promote his music, and he's got some new music coming out next week, and also to more generally engage with his fans. My songs aren't going to be on here anymore, he said in this TikTok video that he posted the day after this letter had gone out. I won't be able to promote my music on TikTok anymore, but luckily, he said sarcastically, I'm not a TikTok artist, right? He's currently promoting an upcoming new version of his album Stick Season and an accompanying new single Forever. And he told fans, if you're going to want to hear that, you're going to have to pre-save it on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever, because he's not going to be able to post his own videos to TikTok with that music anymore.
Yeah, and even those in the artist and songwriter community who reckon that TikTok is underpaying for the music it uses aren't necessarily convinced that Universal's motives here are entirely pro-creator, nor that that big standoff with TikTok is actually all that sensible. So MNEK posted on Twitter, as an artist who used to be signed with Universal Music Group, I really don't know how they think this whole TikTok boycott is going to work out. In 2024, after all this time of bullying their artists into becoming influencers, they decide to pull this. Not to mention, he goes on, all their employees are doing up there is looking at TikTok for the next best trends. Whole ass meetings about TikTok. Like, what are they doing? It's a genuine question. It's silly and it's greedy, if you ask me. And for its part, TikTok was keen to stress that it still has deals in place with the rest of the music industry, which also wants a good rate and is also concerned about AI and online safety. TikTok said in a statement, "We've been able to reach artist-first agreements with every other label and publisher. Clearly, Universal's self-serving actions are not in the best interest of artists, songwriters, and fans."
Now, if, like Andy, you're an avid TikTok user and you mainly enjoy watching people uploading videos, doing quirky stuff to the latest, I don't know, what are the latest Universal Music releases? Drake and The Weeknd. I'm sure not only are you watching lots of TikTok content, you're particularly interested in TikTok content that uses Drake's music. That's right?
No.
That's how you spend your weekends. I'm sure it is. So as a result, you're super concerned. What is happening here? Well, let me talk you through the practical logistics of this. Because the last license has expired and no new license is in place, TikTok has spent the last few days removing Universal release recordings from its general music library, which means if you're posting videos to TikTok, you won't be able to use Universal tracks in your videos. And if you already have, and presumably lots of people have, then your videos that contain Universal recordings, basically the audio will be muted. So there'll be lots of videos on TikTok in the next few days where there is no soundtrack. So that's what's been happening this week. However, the licensing deal between TikTok and Universal also covers songs published by Universal Music Publishing, or at least some of the songs published by Universal Music Publishing. Some of its repertoire will actually be licensed by collecting societies, but some of it is part of this direct deal that it has with TikTok. Now, currently, TikTok is only removing Universal's recordings, but if the standoff between TikTok and Universal continues, the social media firm will need to start dealing with the songs that were covered by its license that has now expired as well, which will mean removing recordings released by other labels and delivered to TikTok by other distributors, because other labels and distributors are delivering recordings to TikTok that contain songs that have been published by Universal. And of course, on the song side of the business, copyrights are often co-owned. So it's not that Universal needs to own the copyright on a song outright. If it has 5% of a song and that song used to be covered by the TikTok Universal license, which no longer exists, then technically TikTok would need to block the recording from another label, another artist, because it contains a song that is at least partly owned by Universal. I kind of say technically, there is a real challenge on the song side in that TikTok doesn't really know what songs are streaming on its platform. None of the streaming services know what songs are streaming on its platform because they get the recordings from the labels and distributors. It has all the metadata about the recording, but it doesn't uniquely identify the song or who owns the copyright in the song. You may remember there was a bust up a few years ago between Warner and Spotify, specifically in India. And a similar thing happened then, that it looked like Spotify was going to have to remove Warner Chappell published songs from Spotify in India. And we were like, well, how are they going to do that? And in the end, Spotify found a little clause in Indian copyright law that it reckoned meant it didn't have to remove Warner's songs. And they'd made up before that got tested in court. So we will see to what extent this is going to have an impact on TikTok in the short term with the removal of all of the hits released by the major record company, and maybe at some point in the future impacting on recording from other labels too.
So that's all good fun, and presumably, despite all these bold statements, a deal will be done, and then we'll get the press release from both sides saying how much they love each other and everything's great, and we'll all just forget about when they fell out and called each other bullies and greedy. Or I don't know, maybe that is it. Maybe there will be no more Universal Music on TikTok ever. We'll see which of those things is going to happen. Coming up later, the endemic misogyny that continues to exist in the music industry and the calls for the UK government to make moves to stop it. But before that, some other stories from the music industry this week, starting with the now customary AI stories. First of all, a committee in the House of Lords has said that AI companies should get permission before using existing content to train generative AI models. On top of that, it said the UK government should publish its own view on whether or not current copyright law provides the necessary protection for copyright owners and not wait around for complicated legal disputes to work their way through the courts. Those clear statements in a report from the Lords Communications and Digital Committee will definitely please the music industry, which is adamant that companies must get permission before training models with existing songs and recordings.
Yeah, and that clarity is needed to safeguard the future of the music community, or at least that was the conclusion of a new report that was published this week by the German collecting society GAMER and the French collecting society SACEM. Interesting report about the generative AI market and music AI in particular, and the impact it will have, particularly on songwriters, given that those are songwriter collecting societies. The report reckons that the market for AI music tools will increase more than tenfold in the next 5 years, so that it is generating $3 billion in revenues by 2028. As a result of that, the report said, 27% of music creators will be at risk of losing revenue to generative AI in 5 years' time unless more protections are put in place.
YouTube has announced that it now has more than 100 million paying subscribers across YouTube Music and YouTube Premium. Revealing this stat in a blog post, the company's global head of music, Leah Cohen, said, in 2015, many doubted a subscription model could thrive on YouTube. They said the market was crowded and our platform was too different. Today, 100 million subscribers later, our distinctiveness is precisely what drives our success and why I still see so much room for growth.
Yeah, no arguing with Leah Cohen ever. Finally, for this section, the UK's Intellectual Property Office published a transparency code this week as part of its economics of music streaming work, in which streaming services and music companies in the UK commit to make more information available to music makers and their managers about streaming deals and digital royalties. I was actually involved in the development of this code as part of CMU's work for the Music Managers Forum and Council of Music Makers. And the final code, it is a compromise. It is very much a starting point rather than the end game. But I do think, / hope, that the code provides a framework to bring about some positive change with the digital dollar work that we did again with MMF at CMU time and time again when we spoke to managers and artists and songwriters and lawyers and accountants. They all said the lack of transparency in the digital music market is an issue. MPs on Parliament's Culture Select Committee endorsed that position. So let's see if this code can bring about some change. If you're a music company, if you work at a music company and you want to help make this happen, get in touch. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, and you can find out more about the transparency code and all of these other stories, and indeed everything we've discussed on this week's setlist in the show notes or at completemusicupdate.com. And finally, on this week's edition of Setlist, a new report from the UK Parliament's Women and Equalities Committee said this week that the music industry remains a boys' club where misogyny is endemic. Women working in music companies face numerous barriers to career progression and are often subjected to harassment and abuse. Incidents of abuse frequently go unreported, it added, due to women's fears that speaking out will end their careers and because some companies suppress them with non-disclosure agreements. Victims who report behaviour struggle to be believed, it said. Even when they are believed, more often than not, it is their career, not the perpetrator's, that ends. In many cases, those who do report harassment or sexual assault regret doing so due to the way it is handled. And the MPs who prepared this report made a number of recommendations to the government for new and updated legislation to tackle this, while also urging the industry itself to act.
So this report is the output of the Misogyny in Music Inquiry that was launched in Parliament in 2022 as part of a wider investigation that began the previous year into violence against women and girls. In free hearings in 2023, the Women and Equalities Committee heard evidence from representatives from the festival sector and all three major record companies, as well as artist Rebecca Ferguson and broadcaster Annie McManus. Following those hearings in October 2023, the committee invited further evidence on the use of non-disclosure agreements in the music industry to silence victims. While doing so, it assured anyone wishing to speak out that parliamentary privilege meant that no direct legal action could be taken against anyone who shared information on any such agreement they had signed. Obviously, there was a fear by those people who have been forced into signing NDAs that the NDA would stop them talking about the NDA. And so because of the way things work in Parliament, there was reassurance from the committee that that would not apply.
With that inquiry completed, the report recommended a number of changes to the law, including an amendment to the Equalities Act to ensure that freelance workers are afforded the same protections from discrimination as employees. It also calls on the government to impose a duty on employers to protect workers from sexual harassment by third parties, a proposal the government rejected last year despite initially supporting it. The report also noted multiple testimonies during the evidence-gathering stage of the inquiry from women who had been threatened into silence through the use of NDAs, and the report urges ministers to introduce a new law prohibiting the use of such agreements in relation to cases involving sexual abuse, sexual harassment or misconduct, bullying or harassment, and discrimination. This, it recommends, should also work retrospectively, therefore allowing those who have previously signed them to come forward. Another recommendation is that studios and music venues, along with security staff working at them, should be subject to new licensing requirements focusing on tackling sexual harassment. And on top of that, there's an additional proposal that artist managers should have to be licensed in some way.
As well as tackling harassment and abuse, the music industry should work harder to improve diversity, the report said. Obviously, there have been a number of initiatives in the UK music industry and worldwide in recent years to attempt to do that. And actually, another report that was published this week called the Seat at the Table report showed a little bit of progress in that domain. That is focused on the music industry's trade organisations and the boards and teams that run those organisations. Obviously, the trade organisations are there to represent the music industry, so they need to be representative of the wider music community in terms of gender, in terms of ethnicity, in terms of genre and region, etc. And there has been a lot of work going on to try and achieve that. And the new Seat at the Table report that was published this week showed some of the achievements that have been made. But the Parliament report stressed, while there are some great initiatives out there, a lot more needs to be done. There should be more money made available to the schemes that are already in place, and more effort should be put into improving career pathways for women, particularly in more male-dominated areas of the industry like A&R, sound engineering and production. In addition to that, record labels should also commit to regularly publishing statistics on the diversity of their rosters of artists. Meanwhile, all music companies with more than 100 employees should be required to publish data on the diversity of their workforce, as well as gender and ethnicity pay gaps. There is already an obligation in the UK for companies with more than 250 employees to report gender pay gap information, but obviously what this report was saying is more information should be made available by more companies in order to ensure a truly diverse music industry and to address the various issues and problems raised in the Misogyny in Music report.
One initiative aiming to provide some of the additional support highlighted in the report is the Creative Industries Independent Standards Authority. That organisation was founded in 2021 and intends to begin offering some services by the end of this year, and will, it says, provide a single, recognisable body that anyone in the industry can turn to for support and advice. However, the report says this is not a panacea for all of the problems in the industry and stressed that other reforms remain crucial.
We will link in the show notes to where you can download a full copy of the report published by the Parliamentary Committee and also that Seat at the Table report. We also ran a very interesting article this week by the researcher and consultant and campaigner Vic Bain responding to this report and setting out how she thinks the music industry should respond. So do go and check out all of those reports and that article.
But that's all we've got time for on this week's set list. We'll be back with another episode next week, and you can keep up with all the latest music industry news every day at completemusicupdate.com.